7 years ago, by God's grace, we planted this church. We started out about 3 years before that, 10 years ago, as a community group of Harbor Honolulu. And we started we had our first vision meeting for planting that community group at a coffee shop in Kailua called Third Cup, which was owned by Pastor Mike at the time. And so we've come full circle. Our small group just started praying, started getting some training, and we were sent out to plant Harbor West exactly 7 years ago with 19 adults and 17 kids. We started at Eva Community Church, moved next door to Eva Elementary School for a while. And so we did the whole setup and tear down, the sweating through our shirts on a Sunday morning. We ate together and had lunch all together as a family after each Sunday's church service. And then COVID happened. And because of COVID, we found this place. And so we've been in this place for about 3 years now. And a year ago, almost, there was a church in Kapolei called Grace City Church that had been journeying here in this community for 16 years, and they ended up merging in with Harbor West, and so that's where Pastor Mike and many of you came from. And so, you know, now it's been 7 years of us just celebrating God's goodness and kindness every step of the way, everything that he's done in the life of our church. We planted with two simple truths. We love Jesus, and we love West Oahu. And by God's grace, we still do. And so what we wanted to do is just take a quick 2 week break from our series through 1 Corinthians and just have this series called Celebrate. And just kind of celebrate God's goodness in the life of our church, celebrate God's goodness to us as individuals, but also celebrate what we believe God is going to do, what he's going to continue to do through our church and in West Oahu. So we're going to pray. We're going to get into Acts chapter 2, and we'll see what we're celebrating today. Let's pray together. So, Father, we pray now as we open your word that we would see clearly your goodness, your kindness, what you have done in this world and in your church, how you are transforming us and our community to be beautiful because you are beautiful. So show us truth today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of Acts comes after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and the book begins with the resurrected Jesus telling his followers that they're going to be witnesses in all the world, to go out into every city and village, all the way to the ends of the earth, to tell people that God has kept his promise to rescue us from this mess that we've gotten ourselves into, and he did it through his son, Jesus. He did it through the cross. He did it so that we could have life and joy and be reunited to God now and forever. And that is good news. That's the gospel that Jesus told his disciples to take with them to the ends of the earth. And so his followers obeyed him like right away. They started sharing the good news of God, and God opened people's eyes to believe it. And so in Acts 2:41, it says that Peter preached this sermon about Jesus, and 3,000 people on that day put their faith in Jesus and became part of the church, the first church. And that's what we're going to look at today, the first church. We're going to see what they were doing, what they were celebrating. And we're going to thank God for some of those same things we see in our church 2,000 years later. But we're also going to see what we should anticipate that he'll continue to do through our church. So let's read Acts chapter 2. We're going to read the whole passage. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. What could that first church celebrate? What can we also celebrate? The first thing that we're all celebrating as the church is this. We can celebrate that God has given us a place to belong. God has given us a place to belong. Did you see that in that description of that first church? In verse 42, it says that they were devoting themselves to fellowship, to belonging together. In verse 44, it says that they were together. They were meeting. They were in each other's community together. In verse 46, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together. Every day. This was a group of people who were committed to each other and belonged to each other. And at this time, in this culture, in this community, who you ate with was a really big deal. In fact, Jesus got in trouble based upon who he ate with, right? Because that was a big deal. That meant that you were connected to those people. And you know, in this description of the very first church, do you know the only thing that's repeated? You'd think in a description of the church, the thing that's highlighted, the thing that's mentioned over and over would be Bible reading or scripture memorization or prayer or singing and worshiping. Nope. The only thing that's repeated is they ate together. They were eating together twice. In verse 42, it's mentioned. In verse 46, it's actually mentioned twice in verse 46. So three times it's mentioned here. This was a community of people who belonged to God, and that meant they belonged to each other. How did that happen? Well, in verses 42 and 46, it says they devoted. They devoted. Every day they devoted. This is a group of people who was relentlessly devoted to being in each other's lives. That word devoted, it just means to continue steadfast, to continue steadfast. And you know what we don't need to be devoted to? Things that are easy. Things that are easy. Things that come easy, we just kind of do naturally. But this idea of being devoted meant that it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard to stay committed to each other and keep rolling together, to be totally and completely immersed in this gathering. These people in the first church, they made a commitment to each other and they continued in their commitment even when things got tough. They stayed together through offenses. They extended forgiveness. They didn't bail. They were devoted. Family, Jesus loves his church. He bled and died for his church. One clear way that we can love Jesus is to love what Jesus loves. To love what Jesus loves. The church, the people you worship with, they are worthy of you devoting yourselves to them because Jesus loves them to death. He died for everyone sitting around you right now. And that's worthy of us devoting ourselves to and not bailing on and pushing through the toughness of community life. They were devoted to each other, and that meant that this place became a place they could belong. And so family, let's celebrate the relationships that we have within community groups that have pushed past casual conversation and have reached a depth of real life struggles. Let's celebrate our men's and women's ministries as being places where we can journey together as brothers and sisters. Let's celebrate the ways that you and that we have belonging at this church, but let's not be content with where we're at. Let's anticipate that God will do more. Let's press into the people that God has called us to worship with. Let's extend real, complete forgiveness when we need to. Let's lovingly think best about each other and show up for each other. Let's prioritize meeting together on Sunday and in our community groups and not let other life pursuits mess with our devotion to each other. Let's work to be relentlessly devoted to each other so that this place can be a place of refuge for others who are looking to belong. The second thing that we're celebrating, that this early church was celebrating, is that God has given us a place to believe. God has given us a place to believe. This, the other things that they were devoted to in verse 42, one of them is the apostles' teaching and prayer. What was the teaching that they believed and were devoted to? What were the things they were praying about? It's what Peter just preached in verse 38. Look up with your eyes back up at verse 38. He just preached, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." They believed the message of Jesus. They believed that they were created by God to be good and holy, but that all of us ran away from God, that we've sinned. And so we've lost everything. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our holiness, our cleanness. We've even lost our life. But they believed that God took care of that problem. They believe that God came on a rescue mission to save us. Through Jesus, we can have forgiveness of our rebellion. Every sin we've ever committed can be forgiven. We can be right with God again. We can have purpose and holiness and cleanness in life now and forever. And family, it's a miracle, an absolute miracle if anyone believes that. Because it sounds bananas at face value, right? That all of history and this world revolves around a poor Jewish man who is a crucified criminal 2,000 years ago, who was actually God and who rose from the dead. And if we believe in him, all of our guilt and shame in life is dealt with, and we can live forever and be resurrected to new life like he was. That just sounds bananas. And it's a miracle if anyone believes it, because God has to open our eyes to believe it. And so, man, praise God for giving us a place where we can believe it. Praise God for planting churches and communities all around this world who are committed to this truth. Let's celebrate every single person that believes this truth in our church. Let's celebrate the 13 baptisms we've seen so far this year, where people have said, man, I want everyone in the world to know that I believe this. Let's celebrate our kids, our keiki, hearing and having faith in Jesus here at our church. Let's celebrate that God has opened our eyes to what is true and beautiful. But let's not be content with where we're at. Let's anticipate that God will do more. Let's anticipate that more people will believe in Jesus in our community. Let's anticipate that God will deepen our belief as we devote ourselves to deep study and application of the Bible in our men's and women's Bible studies and community groups and our focus groups. Let's do work to believe God so that this place can be a place of redemption for others who come to believe also. The third thing they were celebrating, that we're celebrating, is that God has given us a place to bless others. God has given us a place to bless others. In verse 43, it says that they were doing many signs and wonders, these outward miracles that people saw and were being blessed by. In verse 45, they sold their possessions and property and they distributed proceeds to all who had need. They were a blessing financially and to people who were in need in their community. Verse 47, they enjoyed the favor of all people. This church here in Acts 2 was a blessing to all the people around them. They were doing great things that just blessed their whole community. You know, as you sometimes hear Pastor Mike share in the benediction when he comes up, he shares a lot of times that the church gathered always becomes the church scattered. We come together, but then we always go out and we scatter into our individual communities, neighborhoods, streets, into our individual workplaces, our schools, all the things that we do. We scatter. And when this church scattered, they were living in such a way that they had favor with all people. Everybody loved them. They were blessing their neighbors, blessing their coworkers, blessing their whole community. And so, man, family, let's celebrate how God is using our church to bless our community. Let's celebrate stay-at-home parents being blessed through our MOPS ministry. Let's celebrate children being welcomed into our church through foster care and having things like Keiki Beyond to attend. Let's celebrate artists being blessed to share their voices at Analog Dialogue. Let's celebrate our counseling center and families being blessed and moving toward healing through it. Let's celebrate the work in Vietnam and Japan that God is doing through this church. But let's not stop there. Let's not be content with where we're at. Let's anticipate that God will use us to bless our community even more. Let's anticipate that God will use us to bless families like the Naylors in Lahaina who have lost everything. Let's anticipate that God will use us to bless more people with this space he's given us as the Kili'i Foundation and others start to use this space more. Let's anticipate that God will bless families in our community who are hurting by growing our counseling center. Let's anticipate that God will raise up more leaders in our church that we can send out to plant more churches in these islands to bless more communities. Let's work to bless others so that this church can be a place of resurgence as we're sent out to bless our community. How is it that we can celebrate all this stuff happening at our church? How is it that we can anticipate that God will do more through our church? It's because Jesus says he is building his church. He is building his church. Look at what Matthew 16 says. We've got it up here on the screen. Jesus says this, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Guys, we can celebrate and anticipate because it's not up to us. It's up to Jesus. And Jesus already laid down his life for his church. He loves his church so much. He committed himself so entirely to his people that now he's just going to constantly bring people to belong and believe and bless others. What we see is that when the church is a place of belonging, a place of belief, a place of blessing, then it just becomes a place that'll blossom. It becomes a place that'll blossom. When a tree blossoms, it produces life, a mass of flowers, right? And man, that's exactly what's going to happen at a church that's a place to belong, to believe, and bless others. It's all God's doing. He's building it. He is doing it. And so we devote ourselves to each other, not because we found a group of people who are worthy of it, not because we found a group of people who devote themselves back to us even. Our devotion to each other doesn't depend on others. We devote ourselves to each other because Jesus has devoted himself to us. To go searching for a perfect church where everybody just loves me and accepts me perfectly, man, it's not out there, family. It's not out there. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be sin. But we devote ourselves to each other and we struggle and we press through the difficulty because Jesus didn't run away when we ran away from him. Jesus stayed devoted in the garden at the cross. When all of those who were closest to him ran away and ditched him, Jesus said, I'm not running away from you. I'm devoted all the way to death. In his love, Jesus devoted himself entirely to us. And that frees us to devote ourselves to each other as a church, even when other people don't receive it. Even when maybe they sin against us. We don't come here to believe because we found some hidden truth and we've unlocked it and we're really smart. We believe because God has opened our eyes to believe. Jesus has done that for us. Jesus in his love pursued us when we were rebelling against him. We don't go out on mission to bless people because we want praise. We go out on mission to bless people because we're just beggars who are telling other beggars where to find bread. And we want others to know that Jesus is the place where that bread is found. And so what happened in this church is that, man, it was just a church that was blossoming because Jesus was building it. Look at verse 47. It says, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This church was growing at a crazy rate because Jesus had created a place where people can belong, an atmosphere where they can believe, a culture where they can be a blessing. And now Jesus was blossoming this church. And so family, let's celebrate that we currently have more covenant members in this church than we had attendees 3 years ago. That's amazing. God has just blossomed this church in some really cool ways. Let's celebrate that our two services have filled up and we've had to ask some hard questions about where to fit the people that God is drawing. But let's not be content with where we're at. Let's anticipate that Jesus will keep building this church. Let's anticipate that more people will come and check out what God is doing here. And listen, guys, we're going to anticipate this one so intensely that in a few weeks, we are going to relaunch as a three-service church. All right, on October 15th, we're going to relaunch and we're going to have three Sunday morning worship services, 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11 a.m. because we just want to create more space for more people to come and see what God is doing and see clearly who Jesus is. Let's anticipate more people joining us on that mission and signing up to serve and using their gifts to build God's kingdom. Let's anticipate that God will blossom our personal intimacy with him, healing marriages, kids who are sold out for Jesus. Family, this is the end of the earth. The actual farthest place from Jerusalem where Jesus told his disciples, take this gospel to the ends of the earth. The actual farthest place from there is Tahiti. All right. So maybe this isn't the exact end of the earth from Jesus's perspective, but we're like number three on the list. All right. This is the end of the earth that Jesus was talking about. When he told his disciples, take this gospel, this good news of me to the ends of the earth. He had Hawaii in mind. He had the islands a world away from him in mind. Jesus said this would happen. Jesus said that this church and other churches like us would exist right here because he is building his church. Not fools and sinners like us. King Jesus is building Harbor Church and every church that puts their eyes on him. So man, let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate his work. Let's celebrate what he has done, and let's anticipate what he will continue to do. Let's pray together.